Okay, I think we've got all the recording on. It is 10 a.m. Let's go ahead and call this meeting of the Knox County Commissioners to order. If everyone will please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please pray with me. God, our heavenly Father, we look outside and see the bright, beautiful, bountiful sunshine today, and the warmth and the fact that it grows the crops so that we can eat and clothe ourselves and do so many other things. And it's beautiful, and we just thank you for that, Lord. But at the same time, as we look around our country, we see that there are so many things that are not right. And even though we expect that because we're living between the Garden of Eden and heaven, and evil unfortunately has its way here, we don't like it. And so we ask that you would help us all to look into our hearts, into our souls, deep as we can, allowing you to take us there, and to see what we can change in our own hearts to become more like you, because you are love incarnate. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to become better people and to raise those up who are around us. We ask that you would give us wisdom as we conduct the business of the county. A lot of things to talk about and to go through and wrestle with and grapple, but we're leaning on you, and we thank you for that. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I believe before us we have some agendas, and if we need more, we can get some copies made. We were presented with an agenda late last week. Thank you, Drew. I think we have a guest here, Jacqueline, that Trent had spoke with. I think you may be under unfinished business, but we can go ahead and add her to the agenda. Is there any other agenda additions or deletions? Amendments? Anything we've missed? It's been a blur of 2 weeks. So.
Roll call.
Let the record show that all three commissioners are present. The auditor's office is recording this, and Council Porter is also present. Any changes or additions to the agenda besides Jacqueline?
I'll make a motion. We approve the agenda with the addition of the Isaiah 117 house under unfinished business.
I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Anything further? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We have an agenda. So saying that, being a guest, you're welcome to have the floor for the Isaiah 117 house.
Yes, I'm just here to thank you guys all greatly for all the time and effort you have put in with contracts and with land and with communication, and we are all very grateful. We are moving forward. We don't, a lot of our funding, however, with the fundraisers kind of got disrupted with the COVID, but we do have some exciting ones coming this summer, and so we are hoping to work forward and find the funding for this house. But we are hoping to use the land at the best that we can, and we are actually have some plans for it tomorrow, some exciting things going on. So I am here just to say thank you so much for all that you have done, and we hope to make you proud, and we are hoping to have a beautiful house and to serve a lot of kids in Knox County. So thank you all so much for your time, your support, and your dedication to the Isaiah 117 house.
You're very welcome.
Well, thank you, and we want to thank you for being the tip of the spear on this project and caring so much about these kids going into foster care that are being removed from their homes that will stay there for some period of time, that they'll have a nice place to stay and get cleaned up and play and people to love on them. So thank you.
Well, just keep us apprised of the summertime events, and we'll do our best to help get the word out.
We are working on dates, and yeah, I'm going to have a meeting next week to come up with some dates and some exciting fundraisers. So we're still kind of working with this COVID situation, but with the health department, but we will keep you guys all in the loop, and I'm looking forward to be working with you guys in the near future. So thank you guys all so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. I know we do have an agenda set before us in order, but if we can go to 7A under unfinished business. Matt Sword from SIDC is here, and they are the assisting us to administer the COVID-19 grant, which was reallocated CDBG funds. The public hearing was held as advertised this morning at 9:30 prior to this meeting, and if you just want to brief on that and then go over anticipated steps from here.
All right. So the county did receive the grant funding, $250,000. We're just kind of working through the different things with OCRA. I do believe they kind of received the grant agreement. You've already signed that, sent that back. I saw the email on that. And with this, because of how fast they're wanting to get things moving, they kind of did things backwards. So we submitted an application really with no other paperwork. And so we're working on that now. But one thing that we do have is a resolution authorizing application submission and local match commitment. It really addresses two things. One is the Knox County Commissioner President is authorized to prepare and submit an application for grant funding to address economic development in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and to execute and administer a resultant grant, including requisite general administration and project management, contracts and agreements pursuant to regulations of any Office of Housing or any Office of Community and Rural Affairs and Housing and Urban Development. The second thing it does is it commits the local funds in the amount of $6,250 as matching funds for said program, and will come from Knox County Edit Funds on Hand. So this is resolution number 2020-13. So just need a motion on that to approve that and then get the signatures.
All right, and this obviously, because it's numbered, went through order. And I mean, as he states, it's just us authorizing backwards commitment. We've already voted, but now we have to resolve in resolution form.
Right. It's just that's paperwork that we need to submit to OCRA throughout the process.
Okay. I just need a motion.
Motion.
A motion and a second. Anything further? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
And then there's two copies there. If someone, I don't know who would need to sign in the place of the auditor.
Amy.
Okay.
And she, you met Amy.
Right.
Amy
and then
will sign.
I can just give a copy to her then, so I can go see her across the hall.
Sure.
Down.
Yes, and Julie is in there. She handles all of our grants. So she'll, yeah, we have a file going for that grant.
Okay. And then the second thing, some notes here to make sure, because we've got a couple different things. I think everything else we're good on the COVID project. I did want to ask though about the application, the online application that businesses will be filling out. We put together kind of a sample application, sent that to the county. I think Kelly said there were some changes that have been made. What's the status, I guess, of that application?
The last 2 weeks, we haven't made any changes officially. We haven't met. Now that some things have slowed down, we can talk about it now. I don't know if we want to schedule a meeting. I don't assume that's administrative. I assume that it would have to be advertised. We'll
to discuss the application, you mean, or?
Well, if we all three convene, or we can discuss it today.
Well, it's an informational meeting. You wouldn't have to do that.
Well, I guess who helped? We've got quite a few other people. It's just not the commissioners. Don't we have?
Well, there's, I guess, kind of the way I'm thinking about it is on the back end of the receipt of the applications, I think that's when that group needs to come together.
Right.
The actual application is.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
So I guess kind of the way we would see, or we've seen it with other communities, is once the application is ready to go, there's two pieces to it. You have the application and you have the intake documentation, because you have to meet at least 51% low moderate income. And so since I sent that to you, OCRA's came out with some additional guidance. They want to know what is considered a full-time work week for the business. And then they want to know what the average hours of work per week is for the employee. So what we've done is on the application, and once you have it ready to go, if you want to email it to me, I can add this part to it. But on the actual application, we'll just ask the business owner or whoever's filling it out, what is considered full-time at your place of employment? 40 hours, 35 hours, whatever it is. So then they would answer that. And then on the intake document, we will put a place on there for each person to fill out. What is the average number of hours worked per week? Or what, you know, what do you work, your average number of hours worked per week? And then there's a spreadsheet that we're going to have to insert all that. But that's how we're going to come up with the LMI. It's different. We've never done it that way before, but that's how OCRA is asking us to do it.
Okay, so that's in my email. I can have Amy print it off. And if you guys want to take a few minutes after the meeting, possibly, make sure the application is in order. Most of it is already preset for us because of the requirements. Mm-hmm. I think us meeting post-receipt or post-application is more critical than now. Right.
When we plan on having applications go out.
Well, and so we felt like the best way to do it and the way we've seen other communities do it is you put it on your county website, and then we can send a notice to the newspaper. I think we did that with Vincennes, and then also notify the radio stations just so that people know that it's out there, and the business owners in particular. And then they can start filling it out. You give about 2 weeks. So once it goes live, you give them 2 weeks, and then we'll then that's when that group would meet to start going through the applications. And say you only get 15 or 20 maybe, and you still have money left, and we can do a second round.
But we can
at least, for those initial people that have applied, we can start going through the process and start drawing down money to get out to them. And then, you know, we just kind of work through it.
So we have any time restraints?
I mean,
initially, you have it done by a certain date.
Right. OCRA initially said, I think, 6 months they wanted all the money out. But then when and I didn't bring the award letter or anything with me, but then they, and I think it was in the grant agreement, actually, it looks like the end date is beyond that. I forget what it is, but it looked like it was longer than 6 months. So we can look at that as we're going through the process. But I would say the first thing is, get that application to get, you know, where you want it, send it to me, and I'll add that additional information to it. And then I think there was a contact. There was going to be a contact email that they could send it back to you.
Yes, that was something I talked to our IT about, setting up a line just for grant applications.
Right.
Or email.
KellyStreeter.com.
I'm kidding. Sorry.
But that way they can just, when they're done with it, they can just email it back to that website or
that
email address.
Do.
And then everything is in one location.
Yep.
When the deadline hits, you can print that off, and then you can have your meeting to kind of go through and select. Yeah, I mean,
it'll be a great thing to make sure that the list of people that gets approved, you know, on there, so we're not handling call after call after call, where's the status at? You know, if we could have that on the IT where, like, it's pending or something like that under review or whatever, so we're not getting a call back as to if we filled out our application,
right,
send it in, where we at on it, and so that kind of thing.
Yeah, and with this, it's kind of different because we really don't know what to expect. I mean, I know once they come in and you review them, that's, and you've made your selections, it's not final yet. You would need to send that to me, and then I have to send it to OCRA, and then OCRA will do the final approval. And I think the main thing is we have to make sure we hit that 51% low and moderate income. But at that time, we can go ahead and send our initial claim in. That way they can start getting it processed and try to get that money out.
Okay.
When you meet, if you would like me to be a part of that as you go through and I can't sit in and go through the applications and that type of thing, but I can at least answer questions. Because that really needs to be the county that's making the selection.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing to stress is Vincennes has their own pot of money. So
right.
Initially, I think the county was looking at just businesses outside the city of Vincennes. So anyone else in the county, I mean, whether it be Bicknell, Oaktown, you know, anywhere, I mean, they would be eligible, and then people in the county. But the city of Vincennes, they have their own allotment, and so businesses in Vincennes will be going through the city.
But if we do a round or two of outside the city of Vincennes, and we still have money left over, could we then choose to include Vincennes in it?
Right. So if Vincennes has used up all their money and they still have people that are interested, you've gone through a round or two and you're still, you have a little bit of money left and you're, you really don't have anyone from the county coming back in, then yes, I mean, your money is eligible to be, I mean, the businesses in Vincennes are eligible for your funds, but because they have, the city has their own allotment of funds, I think it was, the thought was to keep it separate first. Let them spend their money in Vincennes, you guys spend it in the county, and then we can kind of reconvene at the end and see where things are at.
Okay.
What is just the grant for, Matt?
$250,000. And I think you do a tiered system, so any business, 25 employees or less, can get up to 5,000. Businesses, 26 employees and over, can get up to 10,000. That's how they set that up. So.
That's what the county chose.
Right. City of Vincennes has a completely different, theirs is different, but for the county, that was your determination of how to disperse those funds.
Which was based on rough ideas of maximum numbers of businesses we might reach. So
now, if we get through a couple rounds and we've still got money left over, could we then take some of that money and go back to some of those other people who or business already been awarded and give them a second award?
We may be able to do that. That would be something we would need to confirm with OCRA, but in the end, I mean, when this was set up, OCRA didn't tell you that, they didn't cap it per business. That was all, that's all done at the county level, how do you set that up. So if there's a business that needs additional help that's already applied, I mean, I would want to run that past OCRA just to make sure. But I mean, that's something that we could look at. I mean, you know, their thing is they want to help with what's going on, and so however they can do that, you know, they're willing to. But some of that they might just have to pass through.
Or maybe the better thought, another thought would be to take whatever money might be remaining and spread it among all those businesses mm-hmm. we already awarded, just mm-hmm. divvy it up.
Yeah, that's another option that we would.
Okay.
When we get to that point, we can.
We got options. We're not locked in.
Right. Okay. And then there is I believe tomorrow there's a webinar with OCRA for a second round. It's more of a long-term response. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what type of projects they're looking for, but I plan on, or at least people in our office plan on being on that. To get more information. So. But just let me know if you want me to be in that meeting, you know, when you got scheduled and
once we get the application shored up, we'll get it to you. We'll discuss time frames and website and make sure we get a coordinated message out.
Right.
Because
I think we just did a press release for Vincennes.
I saw.
And then they contacted some of the radio stations. That way people were familiar with what was going on.
Do you guys have any more questions? We just, I mean, really, this application, we need to finalize it and get it rolling. That's all we got to do from here, and then we'll get through those after we receive them.
Moving on from this, I just wanted to give a quick update on what the EDA grant.
Yes.
About 3 weeks ago. Well, I think it was about 2.5 weeks ago, we received a letter. It went through the initial stages, passed the initial stages. They had some additional information that they requested, so we're working on that now. And that is due Friday, but everything's looking good. I mean, I can't tell you, I can't guarantee anything. But once it makes it through that step, as long as we're providing them the additional information and it's satisfactory to them, then it should just keep proceeding through the process.
I hate to say, so sort of a pre-approval, so making it through the first.
Right.
Round.
I mean, you know, in the letter they're telling you that they would fund it up to $732,080. That was the grant amount. But you know, they're asking for the additional information, and so in that letter it does state that this is not a binding agreement,
sure.
or no, there's no guarantee. But it's assuming everything goes through and there's money available, I mean, I think things look pretty good on that project through EDA. That's about the best I can tell you now, but I will keep you updated on that as we get more information.
Good deal.
So, and the city's the kind of the lead applicant, but the county's a co-applicant.
Right.
So that's where things stand there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We'll be talking.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you leaving now? When you go over to Amy, I tell you what, if you don't care, can you forward her the draft application?
For the...
Yes, for the CDBG, or the small business.
On the website?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll probably do that. I'll need to do that. I don't think I...
Okay,
I've got it
it's fine.
At home on my computer.
I didn't know if you so had it on your phone.
Well...
Because then we can just go ahead and hit it while we're here today.
Okay.
But no,
I'll double check and see. Okay. I think on my phone it only keeps emails for like 2 weeks through work, so I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so I'll check.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, thank you so much, Matt. Okay. I know, so let's mark off 7A. We also have guests in the room. Keith O'Haver. 7 or 6C under new business is Sunrise Coal. Just let me all over the board. Mr. O'Haver had reached out to me about an amendment to our road bond with Sunrise Coal. He also spoke with Benji and had him contact Council Porter. And I assume you have updated maps for
yep.
us. If you will just give us a brief on what this road agreement amendment is and why. That would be great.
Yeah, so the amendment that I just handed to you would be the 9th amendment to our road use agreement that we've got with the county.
Yes.
And what we're wanting to do is add a portion of a road that we've already got bonded. That road is Clark Road.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be putting a new rock dust hole in on the corner of Clark Road and Rod and Gun Club Road.
Mm-hmm.
And our trucks that we use to dump the dust are going to be coming, hopefully down that proposed portion that you see on the map there. The agreement itself, it's essentially just a list of the roads that we've got bonded currently, and at the very end there's a note, we've changed the description of Clark Road to include the new stretch that we've already had bonded.
Which is 1.82 miles of Clark Road. That runs...
That'd be the whole road.
Yeah. Well, yes, so that's the extension of the piece that was already under bond.
That amended...
Right. AA.
Okay. AA would include the entire...
Okay, so now it's a total of 2.23 miles.
Correct.
Adding 1.82.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm familiar with the area. Benji, you have any comment?
That's fine.
Okay. Have you contacted any of the property owners in the area by chance?
Just the guy that was putting rock dust hole on. The only other people who live on that road are his relations.
Clark's?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. I have no comment, really. You all... Seems to be in order.
Yeah, I have no legal issues with it.
One of those copies I signed already, if you could sign that one off of which one. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay.
She's on the first page.
We're going to do some maintenance on that road this year, correct?
Yeah.
It's going to be chip and seal. Okay. Just for your knowledge.
A part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you can sign that one then.
Just need a motion.
Motion.
I have a motion for the 9th amendment to our road permit agreement with Sunrise Coal. I have a second. Anything further? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Thanks for the man.
Yeah, I can get you an update to take that yellow off there. Let me get you one that shows.
Yeah, Frank, you want one.
Do you want to touch it actually?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. Now, typically, get that put on file with the auditor. Has anything changed there? Can I still go get
still
it on file?
Still file auditor, yes. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a contract amendment, the auditor should hold it.
While you're here, and it was Sunday, and I wasn't going to call Roy on a Sunday, but the new concrete section on Freelandville Road, I know there's a lot of movement, but it gets pretty mucky,
okay.
Pretty dirty.
Yeah,
a lot of people are calling me about it.
I can I can bring it up. There's a lot of dirt.
There's a lot of, I know, just be mindful of, there's a lot of people that call me about it.
Yep.
You'll let Roy know.
I'll let him know and let Tommy know down the line. And they can clean out a little more often once they're done.
Yeah.
They're moving.
Well, and the water's on the other end, so I'm sure. I was just thinking that. You know how many times I've driven, I'll call Roy and within hours I'll drive by Sunrise and they're out there with brooms.
Yeah.
Hand brooms.
Always a little better at pass along a sense of urgency, I guess.
Yeah.
Some people.
I do appreciate it, though.
Yeah,
thank you.
No problem.
Okay, I think we'll get back on track, maybe? I bet so. We do have, we'll wait for the administrative team. New business, I'd say. COVID update. We have passed on, since the beginning of March, our resolution to our facilities, our response activities, and our public health emergency declaration for this county. Here we are, June 3rd. I don't know if you all have been in here much in the last few weeks since we discussed it last. I think the tax payments have slowed down and the treasurer's office has handled that, not flawlessly, but very well. Election day is over, so an influx of people coming to this building is lower. Business is being conducted and appointments across the board have been made and kept and overwhelmingly, I think, gone well. I haven't heard any complaints. Indiana Supreme Court has now volleyed hearings until July 1. So our courts, we had a meeting last week. Everyone in the criminal justice system, as I was in attendance, our health officer, and law enforcement and fire, as well as EMA, and they are putting together a thorough plan to, and the clerk, to implement hearings again and social distancing. So they're kind of on their own working towards their own reopen plan. They had to submit it last Friday, I think. The rest of the offices, I don't know if we've got two elected officials in the room. I don't see why we can't open our doors to visitors. Don't know how you all feel. I think it's the public is very aware of COVID. I don't think they're going to come here and roam around, and we still want to recommend that if you call ahead and do business remotely, it works just fine. We've proven it for months now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong in viewing how this will how the public feels, but I just don't think we're going to see an influx of people right now. People are safe for the most part.
I would prefer to trust the public. If they don't want to get out, then they shouldn't get out. But if they want to, I think we should be open as best we can to accommodate them. I agree, though, that it worked very well doing business over the phone or email or whatever. But I want them to have that option to be able to come to the courthouse.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's now down to a person's decision whether you want to get out or not, and I think the doors ought to be open and we move on.
I just want to be clear. There are still offices that will mandate their own rules for entrance into those offices. The treasurer, I'm not clear on what she wishes. I could go get her, but she, I mean, up until today, was still mandating guests must wear masks and one at a time. So everyone needs to be aware that individual offices may have specific requirements. You may want to call ahead. The sheriff isn't here. I'm not for sure where he is, but we'll need to discuss with him, the officers. We do recommend masking just as if the governor has recommended that, Drew. I think the way I read the governor's order is we have the authority as a local government to do this, and do we need to count people that come in this building?
Under the order, you have local control over any of your policies as long as you affirm the CDC guidelines. Obviously, our local health officer in developing that, obviously COVID-19's fluid situation that's related to each county individually is impacted differently. So I think we have absolute local control over what policies are implemented and the reasons therefore.
Our current order here expires today.
Yeah. Expires today at noon. So continuation of the public health emergency from a local perspective would need to be determined, as well as opening back up.
Okay. I think
Schreeder would be more clear. We're in that recovery phase at this point.
You know, and I think if you see a spike, that's all, you can always come back and do a revisit.
Well, so is that, am I hearing you correct? Your recommendation is our local public health emergency declaration we let expire?
Currently, right now, I don't see where any of our department agencies are spending any funds for a current response. We are in the recovery phase, so if we back off again, I think we can revisit that and then we do the declaration.
Okay, and with this CARES Act funding, that really changes the ballgame completely in regards to emergency declaration. Okay, would it affect us any other way besides?
No, because that would be PA.
Okay.
So,
okay.
What I'm hearing on the new resolution is allow the public health emergency from a local perspective expire and grants the department head's discretion in implementing the CDC guidelines.
Correct. I do wish we could have, there's three elected officials, and I wish that we could have the sheriff here. I do also want to be clear, 7th Street will still be the only entrance in and out.
Should the various department heads document some way what our legal office procedures are? Do you need that in writing so you can operate your office?
I think and encompass that into the resolution, it would help. It really would, especially for the public. That's why I urge everyone to call ahead to see if there are guidelines in place.
I think that'd be good on the front of the door. I know when we closed the courthouse, we put all the phone numbers and the contact information for each department. If each department's going to have a different set, I think posting it on the door, posting it on the website.
The website, yeah.
Are definitely okay. Good. If you're requiring masks, if you're only going to allow X amount of people, we don't want people waiting out in the hall, obviously, in mass groups. I don't think anyone envisions that, but...
Well, I'll be in the courthouse this afternoon. I don't care to do my best to talk to each office holder. We get a door message for everyone and compile that and we get on the website. Tim Trotter will be here this afternoon, so we'll hopefully get something up. Okay, that's the plan.
Are we talking about operations plan for each one of the departments for each office, and that would be a big part of that?
Okay.
Thank
you.
Okay. Sheriff's office screening at the front door. Temperature is still going to continue.
Excuse me, just a moment. I'm just going to see if he's out there somewhere.
Bill? If you got deputy down there, I'll say why not.
Might as
well do it
yourself. I'm only here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. Otherwise, you're letting me come on the police department. Are they going to do it?
Some guy coming in the court there.
Sorry, we forgot that.
I'm going to leave here about five minutes.
Okay. Yeah, we're probably going to be here for a while.
I did get it.
The main point here is, will the sheriff's department still screen? Should we be screening? There's been some talk with the emergency people that we continue screening, and we purchase these screeners that people can use on their own. Kind of a walk up.
I think we should screen the car in place 5 stars.
He's on his way to July.
Thank you.
Okay. Say that again, John. I couldn't hear you.
We should screen until phase 5 starts.
Oh, phase 5. Okay.
Okay.
Which is July 1st?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is
we've had some more cases pop up, so.
Right.
Safe on that point.
And there have been people entering the building with temperatures that have been refused access. That has occurred.
Well, so. And maybe it would be pertinent to, after July 1st, the deputies, if they thought someone acted sick, they could still have the opportunity or the right to go ahead and scan for temperature.
Somebody comes in, a civilian, and boy, have a little card made up with certain things like we do with dispatch where we come and once ask 2 or 3 questions, and if we're good to go, they can maybe not have the temperature check. So.
Well, the sheriff, we'll discuss that with him when he gets here, but I don't know how you all feel. I do think some level of screening is still important.
IT meeting this afternoon, I would like to bring up those temperature kiosks that automatically take temperatures on everybody that walks in.
Right.
And it alerts the officer, you know, it's hands-free.
Right.
So I'm
we'll talk about that. That's where I couldn't think of the word kiosk.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can't order a Big Mac at that kiosk, right?
Not now. I'm sure that's not.
Okay. Well, then we need to include language that screening measures will be taken however you wish, and we'll kind of work through how that's going to happen here today through the sheriff and our meeting this afternoon, possibly. Is that okay? Anything else that we're just... So the plan is the office restrictions. We have 3 elected officials in the room, the assessor, the surveyor, and the clerk. Can you all, you know, post these on your door? I don't know if we should use the same piece of paper. I mean, we need to look somewhat uniform. We'll talk about it today. But be thinking about that. And I'll probably get some smaller letterhead or something along those lines.
So are we needing a motion?
I'm just making sure, yeah, what else? I don't have the, I do have it.
Yeah, I have the current resolutions right in front of everybody.
Okay.
The way that I understand the modifications to that, on page 4, we're going to open up, starting today, the courthouse to public access. We're going to strike requiring it by appointment only. It's going to be full public access. But that public access, the actual department building or department offices is going to be under the discretion of the department head. Still reminding citizens to follow the executive orders by the governor. They're still encouraged to use electronic means, telephone, any necessary business, they unnecessary business refrain from. And then paragraph 2 is going to remain that Knox County employees, agents, contractors, or any person seeking access into the county buildings are going to be subject to temperature checks. The discretion with the department heads of requiring anything from temperature checks to face masks, personal protection equipment, those kind of things that are going on. And then the rest would stay the same, encouraging social distancing.
Okay.
Quasi-governments enforce this as well.
Well, okay. So the question has been talking about number 5. I've received a significant amount of messages asking about public board business meetings being held here after hours when there is no screening. We need to talk about that. I know some have already convened, but we are allowing these boards to convene, and they're not following our own measures of...
Well, in my mind, a big reason we have a lot of the measures is because of the employees in the courthouse.
Okay.
if it's after hours, there's no employees here. It's just the board and whatever public would want to come in for the board meeting. I would be fine with leaving that as is without any temperature checks or anything.
At the discretion?
At the discretion of the board. I mean, if they have someone in there hacking and coughing their head off, I mean, they can obviously ask them to, you know, hey, I think it's best you not be in attendance here.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Well, it looks like we have discussed an update to resolution now 2020-12, which is an updated Knox County, Indiana comprehensive COVID-19 response, and we will not be extending the county emergency declaration. I just need a motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Hinkle and a second by Ellerman. Anything further? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. Okay, 6B. We have a surveyor and assessor update for our GIS software.
Yeah. I know. Well, there's...
She just threw a curve at me.
Yeah.
Being rude and sidebarring her a second ago. I'm sorry.
I'm still learning process on this GIS. This is a program that was purchased 7 years ago and never implemented. We're trying to get it upgraded to where it's actually going to work for us. And there are a couple things in the contract that I'm not sure about as I've read through it. And so I don't want to get this
put it off to the next meeting.
Yeah, we're gonna have to because it's just,
well, what
there are a couple things doesn't do any transfers and the splits for us. Or a concern for employees that's part of this contract, or we wouldn't be handling them in our office anymore. The only thing we would have to do with them is actually giving them a new parcel number whenever they get a split. Joyce is concerned that if we turn this over to them, we have problems trying to fix those problems. Could become an issue because now we're going to use, we have issues, one of the issues, but now it's just going to involve more people.
Let's be clear.
Some of the verbiage in the contract is not real clear, wasn't for me.
Our discounts are going to go down if we buy less from them, so
yeah,
we're going to get
kicked into it. This is a program that Dick and I are both going to be able to use. He's got two of the licenses, and I have two licenses for it. It measures soils, saves a lot of manual drawing and maps on soils. Mm-hmm. This is going to automatically give you the soils on the farm, you know, 100 acre piece of farm ground.
Right.
There are a lot of advantages to this program, but some of the expanded things that we were looking at on this. What do you think?
Okay, so this is much.
Well, that's part of the problem. So. The land use.
The land use is going to be
the big change in the country, whether or not they wanted to contract out or outsource the calculations for land use, soil use for each parcel. And because it is a complex system. So either they got to learn how to do it themselves or have somebody else do it.
Okay.
So they've been paying for the software for 7 years, but it's never been used, never been implemented. They've still been doing things on paper, calculating by hand on paper,
well,
rather than automated.
Let's be clear that this contract is multi-services.
Yes.
It's not just GIS. It's not just soils or land use. There's.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we're going to put this on the next agenda.
Yeah.
And we will meet the third Tuesday at 6. And
if she takes out the land use part of it, it's like $15,300 worth of contract.
It's going to affect it.
But she changed her mind on
okay.
that last week. And
okay.
The discounts we're getting by buying multiple services, our discounts are going to go down. So they're going to want to renegotiate the whole proposal.
Okay.
And we may leave it, I guess,
You might leave it, they might.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And for my knowledge, is this paid for, how is this paid for?
This will be paid for out of my reassessment under software maintenance.
Okay.
And I looked at last year's, remainder of the budget last year. There's plenty of funds to do this in my software budget, so.
Okay.
I didn't use most of them last year, is what I'm trying to say, so.
We will have this on the next agenda.
So my question will be, because Joyce has been here for a long time, so if you decide to keep it in-house, and then at some point Joyce is no longer, do you have a succession plan?
Well, that's the thing with only having, she's the only one, and everybody, we've got new people training on new things in there. That's a concern of mine too, as we move forward, because, she's going to retire someday, so then where are we going to be?
Just tell her she can't retire.
Yeah, I told her that. She doesn't like that to hear that, so.
Okay, well, I see under new business, I read an email that you were included in for Zeb. I don't.
Yes, and then she knows about the road, the Chico Road, and apparently you guys have gone out for bids. Zeb had got called back to work, so you're going out for bids on that. Is that correct?
Well, we're working on a solution. We don't know what the solution is going to be yet.
I know Colby Black, friends with Zeb.
We're going to fix it temporarily again for the fourth time, probably next week if this hurricane then comes through. Hurricane comes through, we'll have to wait another week.
This road is in serious condition. It's very safe.
I know where it is.
Technical
slide. I was out there a couple weeks ago.
It's not good. And I mean, the kids and grandkids and other people are traveling this road every day. So. I didn't even realize it until a few weeks ago when we went out there. I haven't been out there for a long time. I usually don't depend on it. So, anyway, it's not, if somebody ends up in that ravine, that's not.
Yeah, we got signed up. It's one lane. It's one lane for a couple hundred feet. We've got one lane roads all over the county. So.
Zenda, I get caught head on that though, because there's kind of a curve there.
Right.
So there was almost a
wreck there careful.
Because of the one lane the other day. So.
Okay. Moving on, we have for us claims, payroll, and minutes. So let's just go ahead. Minutes of May 19th meeting were presented. Know if you all have any comments or question or additions.
I was okay with it.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
I have motion to approve the minutes dated May 19th.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinkle. Anything further? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. We also had presented to us last week our claims docket. I don't know if you all picked through them. They are here for review. If anyone would like to see them, I had no issue.
I looked at them. I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the claims.
Second.
Anything further? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0. And payroll. I don't know if you all have noticed, but there's been some changes in the auditor's office. Our previous payroll clerk is no longer here, employed, and we, I think Leah is now handling those matters. Leah, possibly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I heard.
The offices have moved, Mike's now, and they've switched offices, so we need questions about any of this. Leah, I think, is the go-to person now, or Mike. Just wanted to let you know. See a motion to approve claims, or not claims, but payroll claims.
Motion. Yes.
Motion by Commissioner Ellerman, second by Hinkle. Anything further? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. You just get your names on these for a file. That would be great. Not in there too. All right. I think that gets us into unfinished business, which I see here in front of us, Mr. Kent Utt.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good.
Good. We tabled from our last meeting a letter of engagement, I believe, possibly, from Mr. Hall, Rick Hall. We did get him on the telephone, asked some questions, and we decided to move it to this meeting. Still the same focus of discussion of establishing a timeline and discussing special legal counsel to get us through that. You weren't here at the last meeting. I don't know if you guys care. Just kind of explain why you're here, what you're doing, or anything you think we might need to know.
Yeah, there's a company, Tenasca Energy, with Capital Dynamics is what Thunder Board is looking at, about 1,200 acres in Monroe City area along the line here with the old flat substation, tapping into that property, the infrastructure there. They secured most, probably about 80% of the land, picked up two more landowners last week for another 160 acres. Sizable investment. They're already pretty far along the MISO application process, which allows them to get on the actual grid. There's several projects going on in the state, but this one's actually kind of out ahead of the rest of them, so I think that's why. You know, there's the timeliness of this is crucial because they're needing the solar ordinance and that in place. And of course, this COVID-19's kind of pushed everything out of whack and that. But I know that we've had discussions with Area Planning Commission, lengthy conversations with them, and I know Drew, you've done some work on the ordinance prior to engaging Rick as well. But it's about $110 million minimum investment is what it's going to be for the county. About 95% of that is considered personal property, and so again, that's the low numbers. Not going to create a lot of permanent jobs. Probably about 4 to 5 permanent jobs is what they've indicated. That the number of jobs that will be here for the construction portion of this will be large. I mean, they said anywhere from 500 to 700 people could be here for the timeline it takes to get these in the ground. But really had great reception from the landowners. I can't speak, it's confidential what the lease arrangements are, but they're very attractive for the landowners, so they've made it right. And even some of the farmers that were using the land, that were leasing the land, they've made arrangements with them to make it whole with them as they look for other land to farm. So it's just, they've really been over backwards and went over the top on doing several of these things. So we had a conference call with all the commissioners were on that call, as well as the county council, I think, except for Lechner, was on that call to do an introduction and a PowerPoint just to kind of talk about Capital Dynamics and the scope of the project. We then followed up with a conference call with Kelly because it involves the assessment of the property, and this is something that's still kind of new for this scope of project. It's a 150 megawatt plant that's going to be created. Like they said, enough energy to house and do about 30,000 houses. And again, that's dependent on how it gets on the grid and where all the energy will be sold. But, since this is a new process, we went to engage Kelly early on in this to find out how it would be assessed. Would it be assessed as agricultural ground? Would it be assessed as commercial? And it's kind of a ebb and flow right now. It's kind of fluid on how that discussion is going. And I know Harry Nolte sat in on that, and Tim, you sat in on that call as well. It was very productive, I think that call was. And so Tenasca has provided additional information to Kelly, and Kelly's been working on some of that. So she's got some information to share with that as well. But really feeling confident this is going to go forward. And everyone's been working, to get it to the finish line. So we just, they're needing, the timeline because I think MISO is going to be making a decision fairly quick on how this energy is going to get on the grid. But they need to know how it's going to be assessed, and they're going to need to know potential maintenance, which involves the county council down the road and other economic development agreements, if that's the right angle to go, so they know how the margins look when they sell the energy, so they can be competitive with that. I do know they've been talking with Hoosier Energy, with the end game of selling energy to them, as well as Duke Energy, and veteran, which is Centerpoint now, I believe. So all those have been in contact with this. But again, that Obrak substation is a commissioned full station, and the infrastructure's there, so it really makes sense for them to be able to tap into that. That's why they chose that location. Plus, it's ground that has been, for a big portion of the ground has been mined, so it's not as fertile ground, but still being extremely fair with their lease arrangements. So we're looking at basically a little bit on both sides of 64 now. It was all on this is the east side of 64 now, so moved over a little bit to the west side as well. So that's kind of a high level overview of the project, but there's been a lot of movement in the background, and everyone's been real cooperative, so appreciate that for sure.
So we left it at the last meeting. Kind of some of the discussion is we had, I believe, agreed some time ago. Colt is not here. Obviously, you are, Dick.
I'm the president of the Earth.
Sure. So while you're here, can you just answer for us? Let's take a few steps back. Area plan does, under our current zoning, have the ability to enforce those regulations on solar. But we, through talking with Cole and you, I think at some point in time, we had decided that a special ordinance just for solar energy was warranted. Am I correct? That's the area plan?
Yeah, it was acceptable. I don't want to say blank necessarily that it was a must-do situation. You have to have terms in your zoning ordinance that address solar development. If you want to address solar development, you have to have terms in your zoning ordinance that address it. We don't have those terms specifically. Right now, it can be developed under our current ordinance as a developing policy.
Yes. Yeah.
It can be done now under our ordinance. Right? The issue that we're in, do we want to back burner a lot of other projects and put on the front burner developing a solar ordinance now, or work it into the Area Plan Commission is currently developing updates to our zoning ordinances and work the solar ordinance into that. Okay, so at the initial discussion with the Plan Commission was that yes, if the commissioners wanted to have Drew or develop their own ordinance now and go ahead and front burner it now and get it done, the Plan Commission said they would.
Okay. I wanted to make that clear.
We have not yet discussed the issue or proposal of outsourcing that to high dollar firm from Indianapolis or whatever, spend tens of thousands of dollars. The Plan Commission
has not yet discussed that.
So we will be doing so tonight at our meeting at 6 o'clock.
So
at this point, the Plan Commission doesn't have a recommendation in favor or not.
So you all are meeting tonight?
Yes.
Here?
It's advertised for here, but we're moving it to the circuit courtroom on the third floor. It's spread out in that room.
6
There's
o'clock.
11 members on that board.
Yeah, it's a big board. It's stuffy in here, too. What time are you meeting? 6?
6.
Okay. Kent, are you going to be attending that?
I wasn't aware.
So what will be a discussion tonight? You threw around some. I think we need to be clear here. I mean, you mentioned some high dollar firm. No, we need to determine if we need special counsel to assist us in writing this. It's a matter of, can our counsel do it? Can your counsel do it? I don't think so. And do we need assistance in writing this ordinance that's, I think, it's going to be very encompassing of a major project we've not seen yet. So we need to determine if we need help in doing it or not. I don't know, tens of thousands of dollars for an indie firm, I don't know if that's accurate either.
I don't know where the idea that an ordinance has been written by legal counsel comes in.
The
ordinance that we have now was not drafted by a single attorney. It was drafted by Plan Commission members in conjunction with engineering firms, assistants. No legal firm was hired to do it, so I just don't know where the idea that it has to be done by legal counsel.
I didn't say it has to be done, but so, we do not, so are you proposing that the area plan through your own engineers assist
assisting
with writing an ordinance?
Okay.
That would, I mean, that's why I'm asking.
All I can do, we have to talk about it from that aspect. We were on board with hiring local attorney to do it because the plant commission would have been involved, and they've already provided Drew with a lot of information and research that they've done, but they haven't discussed the idea of hiring outside, out-of-county sources to do it.
So what's your take on being able to have time if they were wanting you to do it?
I was talking to Tim before this and use this analogy because we understand it better, I think, in medical terms. Right, you have family practitioners that kind of do a little bit of everything. If you have a regular blood pressure problem, they can give you some medicine, work through that kind of treatment. But sometimes if you have a larger underlying heart issue, you need to go see a cardiologist. You need to go see a specialist. And I think in the area of solar farms in particular, it's a niche area. There's assessment issues that are new. There's changes in law that are new. There's federal regulations. There's administrative regulations. There's statutory regulations. It's a much more complex issue, and obviously in Knox County we haven't dealt with it, so our general practice area has zero experience dealing with solar energy, so it becomes that niche area. And so that was the recommendation in this niche area. If you want expertise, then retaining unfortunately you have to go to larger firms for expertise. Mm-hmm. And that's went down that road. Now, I didn't know if Area Plan wanted to use its own ability to do it, then that's obviously a secondary option. But from a legal standpoint, I think an expert is needed in this area and should be retained. Now, whether it's a legal expert, engineering expert, Area Plan developing across time, I mean, I think that can be discussed, but in my legal opinion, an expert definitely needs to be a consultant.
And I also think that instead of, like you said, waiting however long it takes to get through the wheels of the decisions, that we felt and we had been shared with Kent and some others that this is a timely matter and we needed to get ahead of it, like you just said. So that is the reason why we also brought this to the table, is because you all have a lot amending our ordinance as it is. So should we, outside of you all, take this project on ahead? And that is why this has been discussed. Now, just so you're aware, I'm glad you're here.
That's what I mentioned 2 minutes ago.
Right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page, that we're not going rogue and hiring some high-dollar attorney like you mentioned. I think one of us should be at the Area Plan meeting tonight. I plan to attend. But that goes back to the decision of a timeline. We need to now hear what the Area Plan is going to recommend and how they're going to move forward with. I mean, do you think the Area Plan is going to decide to put this to the front of the table?
I don't have a clue. We've never talked about it from this point.
Okay.
But we do know that since it came up, we've started paying closer attention to the details of solar ordinances and how that would fit into our current zoning systems. But if a separate ordinance is written, we can't finalize that until that ordinance is done, and then we've got to incorporate that into the changes that we'll be proposing in the future. I can't predict.
Okay.
11 members.
That's fine. I again, with COVID-19 and the lack of meetings and talking to Colt, I guess I just thought that recommendation for us to move forward outside of your all's amendment was given.
Yeah, that's kind of the timeline that we were for as well. And I know it changed a little bit in the fact that the ordinance, I know Drew, you probably started working on it already, I would assume, because Colts had some dialogue with input into what the actual ordinance would mean, setbacks, et cetera. So I think the hopefulness was that the draft of that would be given to NASCA to review, but prior to today's meeting, and the first reading would be today, and obviously that's not happening yet. But it is crucial that the timeline, and, you know, I'm not trying to be shabby or pushy or anything else, but it's just, I know we've talked about this for at least 6 months or more, and I know Colt's done a lot of work on it already on the solar ordinance. And when I was at the last Area Planning Commission meeting, it certainly seemed like it was favorable to do the standalone ordinance, you know, where everyone was in favor of doing that. And I thought by doing the ordinance through an attorney who's willing to make the expedite the process.
That was what I thought as well, so I don't exactly know what's happened here.
Can we just go ahead and get things approved on our end? But, and I remember in that contract is you can get that out at the time.
We can, yeah.
So you have it approved, you have all this footwork done, and then take it.
Here at our disposal to handle.
And then see what area planning.
Okay.
And it sounds to me what the concern was, is everybody was okay with, when I say everybody, Colt and Dick, I know I talked to Colt more than Dick about it, was I was working with Colt and having communications with Colt on what area plan was wanting in this, and I can assure you that there's going to be still ongoing communications between me and whoever the specialist is working with area, but there's not going to be some severance of area plans out, this is all this, and now we're just going to try to move it forward.
No,
there's going to be that connection between Cole area plan, obviously you in that development.
Right, this is someone to assist us.
Correct.
And it would be great for the company that's looking to, you know, invest $110 million just to have a timeline that's now adjusted again for that's reasonable for them, you know, to do the negotiations they have to have with the electric companies that are going to be selling energy to and finalize all the details they have with the landowners. Mm-hmm.
It's important that area plan comes down with their guidelines. And that's, I think that's a key thing. I don't want an attorney going up there and trying to make decisions for this and decisions for that and back and forth. Area plan comes up, gives a detailed list of what they want, and so then the attorney then, in essence of trying to save time also, can get it wrote up.
And I think Colt's done a lot of that. Yeah. I mean, he's probably upstairs right now, but I think a lot of work, like again, we've been talking about this for, I said 6 months, it's probably been a year. Because I know I first reintroduced him 2 years ago, and that was one of the first meetings we had. It's very lame.
Richard, do you have a committee you're working on that, or are you trying to get 11 people?
No, all group works.
Okay. So you'll pretty much come out with.
In 2001, when we wrote our current zoning
ordinance. You'll probably have some kind of a guidelines of what they decide. It may not even get all decided tonight. So. 11 people coming on board to make some decisions, you're going to have a lengthy meeting.
We're going to have to come up with a recommendation to you.
Yeah. Okay, so am I hearing a motion from you?
Yeah, I'd make a motion that we have him set up.
Okay.
And then we'll just, with according to his contract in there, you can get out of it at any point in time. And the essence was that they had different people on different levels that could be putting it together on their end, and then a review would be off and running. Because I take it that we're going to, I just want to have it set in motion. My best way to explain it, I want it to be ready to be set in motion. That way you don't have a 2 week lag.
Right, I agree.
And so we can have all the groundwork made, and then we'll make the decision when we turn it loose.
And this will set us up to have a draft ordinance. And I assume we'll have this on our next agenda.
You'd be able to then to just say, hey, we come up with these decisions out of area plan, mm-hmm. and say, and get that to him.
Yeah, that's how I've envisioned.
Let me clarify how the whole process works. Mm-hmm. I've been through this a number of times. This is basically an amendment to the zoning ordinance. Okay. Amendment to an existing ordinance. Okay. It's called two processes. Writing a new ordinance to replace the existing one, so you review it and replace the zoning, or amend your existing ordinance. This has to fit in as an amendment to the text of an existing ordinance. That can be proposed by either the plan commissioner or the county executive. And basically, once that ordinance is proposed, whether it be by the county executive or the plan commission, either one, it goes the first year into the county commission. Then it has to go first reading to the county commission. Then it has to go to the public hearing period. Mm-hmm. And then it comes back for second and third reading. It's an amendment to an existing zoning ordinance. That's how the process has to work. So this isn't something that's going to happen in 1 month, 2 months. It's going to be 3 months.
Yeah, we've done this a few times, yeah. So, I mean, just to be clear, that is the process. We're looking at 60 days once it starts. I mean, a 60-day window once it begins.
Yeah, something like that. Depends on how fast the farmer can get it.
Right, and all the appropriate advertisements, and then if we have to amend it from there, so we'll see. Okay.
So this is a motion to approve a contract with Barnes and Thornburg?
I don't think it's a contract.
Engagement letter.
It's just an engagement. Yeah, it's just an engagement letter.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. I think we have a timeline quasi set, better than what we had, I suppose. 6 o'clock tonight?
6 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Anything further? Hearing nothing, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 3-0.
Just to say, Rick Hall has, I mean, I've met him a couple times, but they've done a ton of work with other counties doing wind production as well as solar as well. So he kind of highly recommended through the research that I've done with several counties that already have.
Thank you. Do you have anything else, Kent, before we move on?
No, I'm still working on some numbers.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let's
set a goal of the next commissioner business meeting or the commissioner business meeting after that. We will have an ordinance ready for reading.
Perfect. Kelly, you have the information as far as the investment, personal property.
I did. I have all of that.
And then the fixed assets and all that stuff.
Yes, I do. And different options on the assess, which way to assess the land. Evansville is using all commercial rates on, but it's a 70-acre facility. We're looking at almost 1,200 acres. Canasta's proposing primarily using ag land values for all land, except for where their structures are, you know, or their buildings, you know, they're commercial, and then some of the land would be zoned or would be classified as commercial. And so I've got some numbers put together. I felt like maybe it was something that the commissioners needed to look at.
Well, I was wondering if you had them for the next meeting.
I could, yes. Yes. And then the personal property, I'm not sure if it, I know the values are right, but I think the figures that I came up with, I'm waiting on some answers on that, on what the personal property costs are going to be.
Ken, did they have a value on each one of those panels?
I don't know if the individual value, I mean, I know they will in the end. I think they were having more of a broad number that they gave you, obviously.
Yeah, the $110 million was the initial investment. 5% would be real property, and 95% would be personal property.
Because that seems to be something out there that's not readily available to anybody, is what those panels are actually. How many panels is going in out there? And I know I've seen that paper, but how many panels going in, how much each one is worth, and that kind of thing, to come up with a tax value to show about how much the revenue the county's going to get out of that.
Right. Yeah, I know Kelly's working on, you know, what it is now. You know,
based on just that estimated number that they have. But like I said before, that's something that we might, once it's established, maybe have to do an audit on it just to
that's kind of
validate the values that they're giving us. So, and they said that $110 million is kind of conservative estimate.
I don't know what's that application.
Okay.
And that's going to be key once any engagement of the council is made.
Yeah, because those are the numbers they're going to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not
Right.
Getting that, we're going to handle the ordinance, but they're going to be wanting to screen you on that. But I just, in the essence of moving forward at a little faster pace, those numbers are going to have to come up somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I know that, I mean, obviously they want to have some knowledge or surety of what the personal property, I mean, I'm sorry, the real property will be, because that's, you know, that's the baseline that they're going on. Just all their contracts, I mean, believe it or not, they're 30-year contracts. The energy's all bought and negotiated through 30 years. The leases are 30 years. So everything's on a really thin margin, so they need to know, you know, basically what it is going to be. So they're, and again, the ground is, you know, it's a type of farming. It's a different type of farming. You're not seeing corn grow there. You have plant panels out there. So I mean, I know they were asking for a hybrid type of thing, potentially for the way that would be assessed.
They viewed that and had all hybrid.
Yeah. And there's in the personal property, they're using, I mean, shares the schedules that they would have. And I think it never goes below 30% of the original value on the personal property side, as far as, and that's what's available. I mean, that's subject to abatement is the personal property.
I think one of the biggest things, questions I've heard from different planning commission, whatever, is the what ifs. If it came up and shut it down, you know, to clean up. And that's something that will have to be brought out in the open too, is the fact that, you know, because everything has to be is a what if, you know, what if, and but you know, there's all kinds of ways around it, but it's just something that, from a generic standpoint, you have to have that rolling that ordinance.
So even with the landowners, the original, because the, I guess, the use of the life of these are quite long. There's a lot of the attorneys that were reviewing these said we want surety for the landowner from day one. So they're putting surety bonds in there for the financial failure. And then they're also we'll have the decommissioning surety bonds in there. So if they do pull out, it's covered by a bond.
Are you buying most of the property, or are you leasing all of it?
Leasing most of it, it's like.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. The numbers for the landowner make sense for the lease, more than the purchase, or what they offer to buy.
Well, it'd be interesting to meet.
Yeah, I didn't. I was going to mow the yard this evening, but I guess I'm very planning. That sounds like more fun than we could be, you know.
Sounds like to me you'll be talking about weed eating anyway.
Thank you for
coming on the agenda. Thank you. Thanks, Ken. Okay, moving on. Letter C, local implementation of CARES Act. I did want to report to you all that under the Coronavirus Relief Fund program with the Indiana Finance Authority, townships are a unit of county government that are eligible for qualified expenses, and they have to go through the county government executive. So I am not surprised. Mr. Tim Smith is the fire chief of Vincennes Township Fire District, and he has prepared an itemized list of expenses that were incurred by his department and presented it to me. So he is well on the ball with that. I just wanted you to know. Mm-hmm. It's about $15,400, and it's all for equipment and PPE that they had to provide to their firemen. So saying this document here is all of the expenses that we can ask reimbursement from the funding that is sitting with the Indiana Finance Authority for us for the unforeseen amount of months. I looking at the request for reimbursement, if you all don't care, I will process this for Mr. Smith.
Sure.
On through the appropriate documents, and I'm probably going to have Drew help me the first time if you don't care. And I'll just report monthly how this is going. I kind of read this in depth. I've been on some conference calls, and I don't know if I explained at the last meeting adequately, but now I've learned even more confirmed that these expenses aren't just for, you know, past. It's expecting us as a county government to look forward of how we can protect our county government, especially against a spike in COVID. So medical expenses, public health expenses, unforeseen payroll expenses, facilitate compliance related to public health measures, other sort of economic support, which is very small, and basically equipment. So I think there's a small team that emergency management had put together through the pandemic of things that we probably should be looking at to mitigate further, because I've learned that the governor is very clear, no more shutting down of our economy, so we need to be prepared. Going to start getting some quotes on caching large amounts of PPE and getting it in storage, and we'll talk about that mm-hmm. as time goes. So is there any questions about this CARES money? There's a lot of confusion as to what this $1 million can be for, but it's literally a one-page document. This is what it's about. And here's the frequently asked questions. You all are welcome to look through this, but this is that $1 million in a nutshell right here. And here's the one-page request form that we fill out and send to the Indiana Finance Authority to get the PPE money, or to get the CARES Act funding. So obviously all COVID, but we'll talk about it more in the future. I don't foresee it's emergent right now. Locally, we're not dying to get reimbursed for huge amounts of money, because a lot of our PPE was provided for free, and our payroll expenses weren't, we didn't have a lot of overtime. Okay. Do you have any questions of me on this? Or? Okay. Talking about grants too, Matt did provide, here is the actual application. Did you see that, Tim?
Yeah.
This is the application, but according to OCRA, they're doing a survey. So here's this survey here. It's has nothing to do with the grant other than they want to survey people. Mm-hmm. But here's the actual application. I don't know if you can take 5 minutes mm-hmm. and look over the application so we can get back with Matt and say, let's get it out and let's start taking applications.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you can spend some time today and read it, and then maybe we talk about it, call, text. It's pretty cut and dry. And the grant request under Section 3, that's where most of the information will come from. The nature of the business, what you're going to use the money for, how many jobs will be retained, and then some wage information that they want filled out. But it's very brief. Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah.
You can review it too, just to make sure that you don't think we're missing anything for protection of our own. Anything else about CARES relief or COVID small business grants? Okay, hearing nothing. Benji, yes.
Talk about COVID now.
COVID grant, but since you are here, we discussed earlier in the meeting our facilities and our response. We decided to allow visitors in this building again, but the point of discussion that we had was screening. I think this afternoon in this technology meeting we'll look at some screening measures that are self kiosk type measures, but in the meantime we've decided and that screening is still a measure that we must implement according to some executive orders and other recommendations. Yes, till July 1, I believe. I don't know. We didn't want to ask your officers. It was more of you. I don't think it would be a great burden, but
as long as the scanner's not up and running, you have sufficient officers to do that. If the scanner opens up, then
sure.
We've seen that happen. Okay.
We'll talk about that timeline this afternoon. But saying that, okay, we have 5 deputies now, correct? Okay, and they're here full time, all 5? Okay.
And part time. We call them part time if we need.
Yeah, so that's what we resolved was as of today, our facilities are now open to visitors with recommendations to continue remote call however you can do business. We've mentioned the CDC guidelines yet again. Each office holder will have, we can talk about it after, but you're okay with the officer screening? I mean, that's something that we've talked about. Okay, anything you think needs to be added, or?
Not on this particular topic, I got something I want to let you guys in on.
Okay.
So this means the front door will be unlocked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. All right, you had something else, or you want after the meeting? Is it business, not business?
I've got one, my cook at the jail had COVID test done back in April.
Okay.
My orders, Dr. Stewart had him tested, he's running fever. He got a $1,400 bill for.
Our insurance should be covering that.
That's what we're checking into now, right now, so he's being stuck, but I told you.
Let me know, we'll call.
It's job related.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll handle that.
Okay, that's all I have.
Benji, you have an update? No. Okay. Anything under unfinished business that, not, okay.
I'm wondering if we need to add a line at the bottom, elected officials and department head reports, that would just catch, you know, anybody. I mean, Rob's sitting there, but we don't have him on the agenda. John's there, David's there, and we've got several department heads in here, and elected officials.
Well, I think, yeah,
I mean, is it included somewhere, or do we need?
I mean, I think it would be assumed. Obviously, the department has issues, they can come in and present them. If we want to create it on the agenda, we can do that. I mean, we have announcements and commissioner reports. I can do a line before that and do department head reports.
I think it would just make it clear that it's a standing order, or not a standing invitation.
It is included in the resolution that we, you know.
We have the right to do that.
Well, they can be added at any time because of the nature.
Right.
Okay. Well, do any of you have a report? Okay.
Things okay, 911?
Number nine.
I want to congratulate Clerk Shelton on a well-run, a very unusual, probably the most unusual election ever as far as timing and last-minute changes and polling locations and all that, but I know when I spoke with you yesterday at one point that everything was pretty much going off without a hitch.
I think it was smooth that actually got out and got to the polling location around town, so for the clerk, you have any questions.
Yes.
Just take advantage of it, and that's reports, ADA-related reports, I have to do the state on the polling location, so that helped me out immensely with that.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
I think that's all I have. Do you all have any other reports?
No.
Okay. Any other business to come before this board?
I think we're going to go ahead and go with this contract that we were referring to. I talked with Joyce.
Okay.
And I think we're just going to go ahead and follow through with it.
Okay.
I think for the benefit of the office in the future, it's something we can always change it later on. I think we should go ahead. Like you said, she's going to be there forever. We really have a small staff for the amount of parcels we have in Knox County. So probably we're just going to go ahead and go with it. Just to improve it.
Well, we'll just go ahead and make sure we get it on our next agenda for sure for a vote, to take action. And
you can't go ahead and do it today?
If you all wish to, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, okay.
But.
Well, I mean, you read through it.
I've read it. I have no legal issues. I mean, whenever we read those, I mean, legally, I always am concerned about data retention and who owns the information going in. That way, if we ever do sever, who owns it, and we still own it. So that's not.
Well, the thing with this system, it'll also help with the tax system. It'll connect with XSOC and help with the auditor's office too, and the data will feed into, there will be a connection center where they'll load data into our system. It's correcting, there's so much land in this county that is not assessed properly. And we've done a lot of corrections, but but there are a lot of parcels you can't review, and this is going to help do a lot of that corrective over the next few years. And but it also is going to feed into the Excel system that's in the auditor's office now on that side. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I don't know how many parcels you're talking, but it's only 120 modifications per year.
That is for...
That's for the...
What section are you on there?
Well, I'm under C, which is the land use. And then they're only going to do a quarter of the total parcels.
Yeah. So if we go with what you told me 5 minutes ago, all that's coming out of contract anyway. Yeah. That's the part that you said you didn't want to do.
Well, is that, maybe we better table this for next month.
That's doing the transfers and splits.
That's doing the transfers and splits.
Okay.
So we're going to do
100. I'm recommend having Tim
get
it too, just to make sure it's technical. What do we have on our...
See, that's where some of this information was called.
Yeah.
They're
going to...
I need to go
to technical.
Right.
Well, we need to...
Yeah, let's do some more discussion.
Can you send a copy of that to Tim or Goddard?
This?
Yeah, just to make sure that...
Should
already have it?
Okay. I sent it to all of them. By email.
Okay.
The contract.
Yeah, just to make sure that our...
Yeah, I sent that to our copy there.
Yeah, I know I have it. Okay. He wants to make sure that our IT is compatible with all this and can handle all of it.
Oh,
it
is.
I'm sure.
We're already online.
Yeah, we're already...
Oh, that's true. We've already
had it. This isn't new. Right. We're already online.
No, it's not new. So, this price is good.
Put them under one.
To June 30th.
One annual payment. And then the added service of doing the land use determinations and the soil determinations for new transfers and splits was the added thing she was considering about outsourcing. When Alcy, at the last second, decided she wanted to change her mind on that and not outsource that, keep doing it in-house. So now we get it back to our heck, redo the proposal, because now when we're paying for them for just support to do that, but we haven't been doing it. So the idea was to contract that to them, and then we don't have to pay the support anymore because we're contracting them to do it.
Right.
Now, she's telling us, like I said, we want to change that. Now we're not going to contract, we're going to have to go back in and renegotiate. Put the support for doing that back in. So.
There's a lot to understand in that system, and he understands.
So, okay, so this is good till June 30, this here. We convene June 16, June 19, somewhere.
Okay.
June 16th at 6 p.m., so we'll just plan to give you some time to just be clear, and then we'll come back.
That's June 16th. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you all have any other reports?
I decided to take 2 weeks off. I got to come
back. Okay. We will meet June 16, 6 p.m. in this room, and I just need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
I have a motion to adjourn. I will second.
7:30.
Well, we have a
couple things we're going to do. This. We went on that for that
tomorrow.
Yes.
I got that Amy
somewhere.
They're going to be very skeptical about getting this.
Somewhere oh, I've got it. I think she probably got it.
That's all you've been sitting here for? We need the township.
Yeah, I usually say, for the whole thing, I have
because it's the Vince and it's not Elvis.
Right,
Appreciate like the Vern Society, or the Vern store out there.
They came.
Takes
every month, they fill out. They can send copies of those in.
Hey, yeah, that's, you have his paperwork.
I don't know.
We all had to sign it.
I had to sign it. We signed it.
We would have approved everything too.
Sorry.
And they built it.
And they can say and over.
They want to just do that.
Because, boy, that you talk about because then on the financial statement it'd have employees that have owner's money and have all that stuff on there. Say it.
And then when the application
Tentative date to when we're going to get them all back.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a important thing. All of them come back at the same time. We have them all where we don't have stragglers coming down and doing it.
Well, we got to set a hard deadline.
Yeah. Because everybody, well, I only got, it was in there the day after, or something like that, you want to have a mandatory time date.
Economic investment.
Anyway, you'll be surprised. I'm surprised how many people.
What's best for land use?
They've already called.
I mean, to protect all land.
When they get down to millions, you're going to get all kinds of phone calls.
It's hard to shut it out.
Yep.
And I don't want
to send them to the website.
See, the members spend so much time.
Okay.
It's important to know.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be the base.
Well, that's why. Right. Which is why we take
that. That's your guys' confidence.